Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season 2 of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season 2 is out now from Lemonada Media.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, cause Doug loves Louis.
Hey everybody. Let's see what it says on the paper this week. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you from the UCB Theater in L.A. This particular time after Comedy Death Ray. Did everybody here tonight, or most of you, enjoy the special Halloween show that they did this week? I saw parts of it. It was crazy. They had Kanye Rest in Peace was the big closing number. That was amazing. It's Tuesday, October 26th, 2010. There's a new pay-to-listen episode of Doug Loves Movies on iTunes now. Hopefully it's $1.99. I think it was the last time I checked. But for some reason, when it first went up, the price was $9.99, which probably isn't worth it. The show was taped in Orange County with probably the most disinterested crowd I've ever done. Ever done the podcast for, and that's dating all the way back to the very first I Love Movies before Comedy Death Ray, before anybody knew what it was and was just like, what is this thing before this other show we came to see? And yeah, it was weird. It was like is like a comedy club on a Tuesday night where just like a lot of people just came in wanting to see a stand-up comedy show, and they got a, you know, arcane movie trivia game instead. They weren't that into it, but some people were into it. Some people had name tags, and it was cool. And so I'll just have to be more careful about like where I do live shows in the future out on the road. We'd done one in Irvine before, and it went great, so I just assumed it would go great again, but whatevs. I had a great time out there with my guests, Doug Millard, Chris Porter, and Brendan Walsh, so check it out when the price comes down. And the price is reasonable, then go get it. Not sure if I'm going to see the new Hillary Swank joint. It's called Conviction, and that tells me two things. One, that the actors are going to work really hard. And two, so am I. So I don't think I'm going to go. How many Oscars does Hillary Swank need? Like, does she have three shitters in her house? November 4th and 15th are the final two, not the final two, but the last two nights of tapings for the first season of The Benson Interruption in Los Angeles at the Music Box Theater. You can still go to DougBensonTickets.com to get on the list to get into one of those. And speaking of that, my guests tonight
are the same three comedians you'll see if you watch the premiere episode of The Benson Interruption on Comedy Central on Friday, November 4th at midnight. November 5th, technically, but whatever. Please welcome Nick Swardson, Nick Kroll, and Chris Hardwick.
About that weird face you were making.
Don't worry about my face.
All right, you could talk into the microphone. It's a podcast.
Could you describe the face? Yeah. I'm a podcast listener.
I made an interesting discovery when I had the three of you as guests on my show. You all have ick in your names.
Yep.
Think about it.
Smart humor goes over some people's heads. Smart. You've got an interesting seat over there, ma'am. All right, so...
Do you want to move?
She started to respond. She had a full sentence worked out in reaction to me pointing out
there's
she's in a weird
spot.
There's
some front row seats.
She's in the president's box over there on the side.
Yeah, come sit with all these dudes over here. This is also the smallest crowd we've had in a while because this is super late at night. What time is it? It's like midnight or something, right?
It's fucking noon.
November 2nd.
It's noon on Nick Swardson time. On Pretend Time, it's noon right now. Have you guys been watching Pretend Time on Comedy Central?
Yeah! Have you really? Do you like it or no?
You don't have all that to. Clapping was pretty positive.
That's a thing I heard of!
No, I said, who's watching it? And why would they be watching it if they didn't like it?
I thought they were just being nice.
They'd see more.
They've been watching it, but just with the sound
applaud
off.
If you've applaud if you've seen more than one Pretend Time. Yeah! That's what I'm saying.
Wow, thank you.
So they didn't come back a second time.
That's awesome.
Can I ask a question? When you put out a show with your name on it to both of you, is it incredibly stressful?
Yes.
Do you feel a constant judgment of your comedy?
Yes. Yes.
I'm more stressed out about his show than mine, to be honest with you. Because every time I've seen Nick over the last, how long have you been working on that thing? A year or two?
Yeah.
Every time I see you, you're like, sketch is so hard. Like, you're always like, seem like you're working way too hard.
It was 1,000 times harder than I thought it was going to be. I was like, I'll just show up and just put on a mustache. I was like, no. No, it's so much more. So, yeah. But yeah, having your name on, because I didn't want my fucking name on it.
Right.
And then they were like, yeah, just have your name on it.
Put your name on it.
I'm like, put your name on it. Yeah. Put your name on it. I take that back.
That'd be weird if they called it Anonymous's Pretend Time.
Pretend Time? Just with a question mark.
The Anonymous Interruption.
When does your show start airing, Douglas?
Pretty soon. I just said, November 4th at midnight. I got the coveted midnight slot.
No way.
Yes.
So wait, does that mean it airs on November 4th it's at midnight, or is it November 3rd 5th. At midnight?
It's noon
at
night.
November 5th at midnight.
It's technically November 5th.
Yeah, yeah.
November 5th at noon.
Stop saying that. People are going to tune in at noon. Is your show at noon? What the fuck are you doing?
Comedy. Yes, it is.
Wait, so it's Friday.
It is now. I'm changing it.
They can't show your show anytime before 10 p.m., I bet. Because it's dirty.
That's so fucking dirty.
It's a dirty show.
If you haven't seen it, it's every episode.
My sketch is on it tonight, right?
Me and Nick Kroll had our sketches on tonight.
I don't want to ruin it.
Don't ruin it.
All right. Tune in the past podcast.
Yeah, this isn't...
we're not live podcasting.
Friday, November 5th at midnight, but technically that's November 6th. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up.
Yes.
I feel like we just did an awful Who's On First for the fucking new millennium.
Without any joke structure. Yeah. Wait, I don't understand the concept
of
time.
Wait, Who's On the Podcast?
Technically.
Pretend Time. credits.
It's anything from midnight to like 3 a.m. or so. It's a confusing thing to have to tell people about. Yes. Like Jimmy Fallon, like in prime time, they'll say tonight on Jimmy Fallon, but he doesn't come on till after.
I got into a Twitter argument because yesterday on October 25th, I said 25 years ago tonight, Doc Brown gets killed by Libyan terrorists, or does he?
Right.
And all these people were like, technically it was October 26th because it was after midnight. And I explained, like, well, I know, but when Marty saw him, he was like, tonight. So it still was the fucking the 25th to them. So
I just went and saw that. I was in San Francisco, and I saw Back to the Future in the theater for the anniversary.
Nice.
And I was told that we're going to go see it at 12:30. And I was like, okay, great. We'll go after my shows. He meant 12:30 in the afternoon.
But all your clocks have been set 20 minutes ahead. Shit, yeah, that's a good reference.
Absolutely.
That is a solid reference.
Can I ask you a question about that movie?
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about movies.
Is that cool? Is that all right? I'm sorry to interrupt about that other stuff. What? I was rewatching that movie I hadn't seen in a while. I was like, the idea, like, today they would have to have some reason as to why Michael J. Fox was good friends with a mad scientist.
They were fucking.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you see in the backstory, is, but there's no reason.
Like, Marty, I got these big speakers.
Exactly.
Come on in. Oh, you blew them out. That's okay. But speaking of blowing things,
I lost all of the Von Braun's family fortune building the DeLorean and on the rape trial.
Yeah, the multiple rape trials.
They lumped them all into one mega rape trial.
Like a class action suit, Marty.
Wish I could go back in time and undo all that, but I guess I won't. I'd rather see the Old West.
Does this reopen a whole wound for Stoltz?
Yes. Well, now the new DVD, the 25th anniversary DVD and Blu-ray is going to have footage of Stoltz because they shot for a week with him.
Yeah. I heard it was more than a week. It was just a week.
It was actually a while. It was several weeks. I saw the thing with Zemeckis and he was talking about it. And
they might be spinning it differently.
They show footage of it, and he says he literally went in with Spielberg and was like, this is not as funny as it's supposed to be. I mean, he basically said Stoltz is not playing it funny. It's not funny.
Right.
And Spielberg was like, well, let's do
it. But they said the same thing when Michael J. Fox did Mask.
Yep.
They said, right. This is too funny.
This is too funny.
This is hilarious.
It's not supposed to be.
And it should not be.
Yep.
So Eric won that one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Are you trying to tell me I have some kind of rare bone disease?
Yeah.
Mallory!
Cut! Stop Mallory. Improvising that! You're fired. Get Stoltz.
Yeah, I want to see Stoltz in there, though. I want to see it. I think it'd be interesting because he's a good actor.
Yeah, man.
I've never disliked Eric. Yeah, he's totally good as shit.
I liked him in Say Anything. Do you remember what he was in Say Anything?
Yeah, he was a PA on Say Anything.
What?
Yeah, Eric Stoltz went through this weird thing where he would take real jobs while he was
Franco'd
still,
it?
While he was a known actor. Yeah, he totally
no
Franco'd
fucking
it.
Way.
He Franco'd That's first. And on fucking Say Anything, he was a PA for the entire movie.
Not
it been cooler
I swear
if it
to God,
like,
it's something I either heard or made up.
Stoltz,
one of those two.
I heard that Stoltz was the stand-in for the boombox and Say Anything.
So he just had to lift.
That was shot.
And Stoltz had to go, in your eyes. Like he had to sing it out.
So awkward.
Hey, it's
yeah,
so true.
It didn't work out.
Was shot in they had shot that after the movie was done. They shot John Cusack holding the boombox, and they put him in Amelia Earhart Park in North Hollywood.
Really?
Yeah.
I heard that the original cut of that movie is Cusack's like a dick, and they were like, you gotta make him more likable. Like they went back and reshot stuff to make Lloyd more likable. Or I made that up. I'm not sure what
that is. I think that one's made up.
It's fair.
Maybe they did, but he's so fucking likable. There isn't
really
a scene
likeable.
Where he's unlikable, I don't think.
I know.
You sure you're not talking about the dad? Because he goes to prison and shit. Yeah, he's what? Pretty unlikable.
Oh, the dad and it?
He's
the
like,
guy,
look
the
at my jukebox!
From
then
Frasier?
He's in jail in an
from
orange
Frasier?
Jumpsuit.
Yeah. That's a weird turn, isn't it?
Which
what,
part?
What?
When the dad was in Frasier.
It's a prison release program.
I mean, it kind of took me out of the Say Anything story. Yeah.
I think maybe you shouldn't watch Say Anything and Frasier at the same time. I think it just blurs the lines too much.
What's the point in picture in picture then?
What's the point in it? I would like to do something now because Chris Hardwick's here, and along with his writing, songwriting team partner, Mike Furman, they are Wick and Man.
No, it's Hard.
Hard and Firm. And you're not Wick and Man?
No.
That'd be gooder on the Halloween.
Well, that's
Wick
not the,
Man.
No, that's not the Nick Cage movie. That was Wicker Man, right?
That was Wicker Man. Man. Yes.
Yep. That would have been great.
Why are you burning me in all these sticks? What did I do to deserve this?
But in his version, it's Wicker, Man.
Wicker, Man.
And it's
Wicker,
just, man. Read that. It's just it, him at Pier Imports.
What? Pier 1?
Pier 1. Pier 1 Imports.
Do you have a large effigy that we could purchase?
Does this couch go inside and outside? How do I get this to an island full of witches?
I don't know if any of you guys sound like him, but it's still pretty funny.
It's getting worse and worse.
I think it's getting better.
Yeah, I was like, why was Doc Brown at Pier 1?
You guys sounded more like John Travolta trying to sound like him.
In Face Off.
That's
right.
I mean,
if you pull someone's skin off and put it on another skeleton, it'll look exactly the same.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of voice stuff tonight already on the show.
Mm-hmm. You might be right, Nick! Thank you. That was a character I do.
So Chris and Mike wrote the theme song for my new thing, The Benson Interruption, for the theme song for television. It's never had a theme song for the live show, but I would like to debut it.
What?
Now, ahead of time.
Are you playing the show? It's 15 seconds long.
Yeah, it's 17 seconds, but you know, who's counting?
We'll play it like 14 times, so it lasts like a regular
to
song.
To make it a full song.
But we'll play it the one time and see how everybody likes it. And if you like it, maybe we'll play it a second time so we can start that. It's kind of the same sort of, what do they call it? Earworm. As the theme for this show. I hum it all day long, every day now, and it's driving me insane. So welcome to my world. Here it is, the Hard and Firm theme for the Benson Interruption.
For the TV.
Doug Benson has a show. He cuts off all his friends because it's the interruption. He's most happy when he's saying things that pop into his brain. It's funny, it's awkward, it's awkward.
Originally 32. That was fun. That was really fun because we had a dinner with you, and you were like, yeah, man, you know, just like, you know, incorporate some of this stuff, make it like 30 seconds, and we'll be fine. So we made a 30 second version, and then you're like, this is too long. We're like, but you said.
No,
you
that's said that'd be that's 30 seconds. Welcome to the world of trying to make a TV show where you can't just do what you want. You have a lot of people to answer to.
It's the worst problem anyone could ever have.
It went back and forth, 30 seconds, 22, 27,
it's
15,
like getting,
18.
Sometimes 18, yeah.
Yeah, it's like
at one point you said songs are like math and there's no way for us to shorten it.
There isn't.
And then Mike figured out a way to shorten it.
No, because you asked us to cut out two lines, and I said, no, there has to be a certain mathematical symmetry to the song. Like, you can't.
I still got those two lines cut, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. But we had to cut four lines. We had to cut four lines to make
yeah,
it
Yeah, but two of them were those two that you were talking about.
Yeah.
I actually pitched Nick a theme song. Do you mind if I sing the theme song that I pitched for Nick Schwartz's
for pretend time?
Yeah.
We'd love to hear it.
I don't have I'll just have to do it a cappella if that's all right.
You don't have the music ready?
No, I don't. I'm just going to do it a cappella.
Nick Schwartz's pretend time. I'm Nick Schwartz and I'm pretending to not have time for Nicole.
So he said I had to cut out
three of those parts. Yeah. We had to tighten that up. We had to
and
tighten
I was
the
like,
farts.
Mathematically, you can't cut those farts out.
Right. No, you couldn't. No, you couldn't.
But we cut them out.
Cut them out.
Have you been to the movies, Nick Swartzen, since the last time we talked in this very room?
Yes, I have.
What'd you see?
And so... Jackass 3D. Yeah.
Nice.
I saw it too.
Did you?
What else did I see? Talking to Nick.
Yeah, Nick, fuck Nick. You.
Sorry, Nick. I'm sucking Nick. When Wee Man was on the podcast and he he's so awesome and Mike Kaplan was also on, and every few minutes Wee Man would belch really loud and they go Mike, and he just kept doing it through the whole show. He can't not be a jackass.
That's great.
There's no off switch on those jackasses.
Ain't no off.
Johnny Knoxville got a tooth knocked out by a flying dildo making that movie. A dildo hit him in the face so hard it knocked one of his teeth out.
Man, that is living.
That happened to me.
I had real...
Making the theme song for the next Words and Pretend Time.
That's how we roll, man. I have a fucking dildo cannon in my house. It's like one of those tennis ball guns, but it's just penises. Yeah.
It's good. I hit 1,000 of them a day, like Agassi.
It's like fagacy.
Yeah.
That'd be the best way to prepare for trespassers, to have like a t-shirt gun or something loaded with dildos. Because if somebody trespasses, they'll never forget what they did wrong.
Yeah.
If you shoot some dildos at them.
Yeah. Old man flying dick's house? No, I don't go around there.
It ain't the guard dogs I'm afraid of.
It's them veiny flying saucers.
Saucers?
Yeah.
Did you see Jackass?
They shoot balls.
Yeah, yeah, I loved it.
I saw it
not only in 3D, but I also was in one of those D-box chairs at the Chinese theater here in Hollywood.
What does that mean?
And the fucking chair moves the whole movie.
They pee in your Coke for it. Like,
what does that happen?
Like I heard it was really good like for Fast and Furious, because your chair's just like vroom, vroom.
Yeah,
like
Jackass,
the whole time.
It's like, what, the chair farts or what?
No.
You just get hit in the face with dildos.
Yeah.
You just get your mouth fucked.
When they get knocked down, the chair just violently, like you feel like a violent hit whenever they get hit.
Oh, it's like some kind of haptic feedback on your chair?
Yeah, they program the whole movie in, and like, but the worst part is during the disgusting parts, which there are several, where you're sitting there in your seat thinking, I might throw up.
Literally almost threw up.
Like when Steve-O's doing that, like, yeah, that thing, like he's gonna throw up and he's heaving, the fucking chair heaves you the same way. So you're watching a guy almost throw up from, you know, just eating a bar of shit.
And then they have a midget. And then a midget comes out and just comes in your mouth.
Do you realize that that was some guy or some team of people's passion project for like 8 months, was meetings about how much the chair should gyrate when Steve-O pukes?
Or some guy just did it in an afternoon.
Are all the chairs?
It was making me laugh, but my buddy
like
Tall John.
The theater.
You could turn it off, and my friend that I was there with, he turned the thing off. He's like, I've had it with this, because it was really like every time they'd get smacked around.
That's
it
retarded.
Was really violent. How the chair,
like, I can see Fast and the Furious, but Jackass, that seems weird.
Yeah.
Man, the sweat scene in that.
That's when I almost lost it. Just thinking about it.
You know, the other time, the shit volcano, I came pretty close. The only other time that I almost puked in a movie was Slumdog Millionaire, when he falls into the diarrhea pond.
Yeah, the little kid.
Yeah.
I literally almost puked in the theater. But
now,
that's
is
just
because
I don't like brown people.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it a racial thing that the same sequence in Schindler's List didn't bother you?
No.
And also, that was in black and white, so it didn't look like shit as shitty.
No, I just found that erotic.
That would be a weird movie scene, D-Box chair, Schindler's List. Schindler's List.
That would be really
uncomfortable.
What
about seeing Buried? What about that movie in D-Box?
In Lydia D-Box?
It just wouldn't move at all.
Yeah, is that out? Did that come out?
Yeah, it did.
Did you see it?
It did come out.
It makes me uncomfortable just thinking about it. Like, the trailer was too much for me.
Yeah.
And also, there's no way you'd get cell phone service if you're buried alive.
But did you see it?
Especially if you have AT&T, motherfucker. Nailed it. Fuck you, AT&T.
Too soon.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry.
I haven't
seen this. I didn't see Jackass. I finally saw Mega Shark versus Giant Octopus, which is fucking awesome.
Wait, you finally saw that? I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is either.
It's in the fucking title, Nick. A Mega Shark versus a Giant Octopus.
Is it real?
A movie?
Yes, it's a movie. And I think the producer. How many people saw it here?
Does one of them win? Is there a clear winner at the end?
Oh, everyone loses, Doug.
Is it animated?
No. Well, there are some CG, quote unquote CG parts. I feel like.
Who's in it? Like, Deborah
Gibson is in it, and Norman Fell is no longer alive. Okay. Lorenzo Lamas.
Is it like
Morgan
Avatar?
Fairchild is in it.
It is like, it's just like Avatar.
Then I won't see it.
But mine is the budget.
It's like Avatar, but instead of James Cameron, Kirk Cameron.
That's right.
Yeah.
Kirk Cameron directed
it.
It
was directed by Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
It's called Avatar, and it's this blue alien.
Oh, I like that. I watched that.
I feel like they didn't tell the actors what the movie was going to be, so the actors are very serious about it.
I mean the actors and Deborah Gibson.
And that's right.
She was
my favorite part of the movie. She was my favorite.
Deborah.
She was good in it.
It was interesting. It was that you have to see it, and because they're actually making Megapython versus Gatoroid. They're making it. Of course, I looked her up on IMDb, and I'm like, what other movie has she been working on? Of course, Megapython versus Gatoroid. I wonder if these two are related.
Really? Gatoroid?
Gatoroid.
That just sounds like a weird growth on your neck or something.
Yeah. It does.
Gatoroid. Is that a previously named monster, or is that a new one?
I'm sure it's some sort of alligator type creature. Gatoroid, like humanoid.
Right, but they made it up though. It hasn't been in something before.
I think this is Gatoroid's first credit, Doug. Yeah.
I don't know. Nick and I are wondering. Nick was asking me what they were talking about. I don't know
what's going on
because I had friends growing up.
Like normally. But just to be serious for a second.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Sorry.
I think normally you have to have your own movie before you can be in a versus situation in another movie.
Right.
You have to have already been in something.
Wait, was Gatoroid was in Hannah and Her Sisters, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
He was, yeah, Gatoroid.
The Gatoroid
was the one
ends
in the
up with Diane Wiest at the
yeah,
end.
Exactly. Right.
Gatoroid sells Diane Wiest Coke.
I just don't know if I love him, but he's just wonderful, but, you know, it's complicated now.
I don't get along with the bird who cleans his teeth.
No. We, a while back.
Nick hasn't known what's gone on for a long time.
I got nothing.
Me and my buddy John Mulaney wanted to create a Diane Wiest film festival called The Wiest Infection. Get infected.
That's what happens when you have friends, Chris.
That's what happens.
You come up with the gayest concepts possible. Paranormal Activity 2, I saw that.
Really?
Did you really? I didn't even see the first one.
Is it real?
I didn't want to go.
Yep, another family decided to tape every minute of their lives.
It's really funny how it's like, it's pretty much the same movie, but they're like, how can we amp this up? And they just add a dog and a baby. Like, now the spirits are fucking with a dog and a baby. That's more intense than just some arguing couple.
That first one pissed me off so much. It was so good most of the way through. And then there's the scene where the fucking Ouija board catches on fire, and their reaction the next day is like, "Huh, I don't know." They don't fucking wouldn't that be the moment where they're like, "We need to get the fuck out of this house." But they take it in stride.
Also for me, not enough Gatoroid.
Not enough Gatoroid.
Gatoroid versus Paranormal Activity. That'll happen. That'll totally happen. But yeah, I didn't care for either of the movies. I got tricked twice because I just find it very boring waiting for something scary to happen when that scary thing is going to be something I don't even really believe in or find scary.
I don't like scary movies. I don't like going to see them.
Well, I find
you don't
them
like
boring.
Them. You don't like scary movies, or you just don't give a fuck.
No, I don't.
Do you get scared?
I get scared, and I don't like that emotion. I don't like that feeling. I saw The Exorcist when I was five, and it
kind of fucked with me. You're five?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
That's like one of the that's like one of the scariest ones ever. Like, yeah. It's not like all horror movies are as scary as
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but it left a bad taste in my mouth.
What is going through your head when you're watching a little girl fuck herself with a crucifix?
And how do I get my sex cocks in hell?
How do I get myself one of them crucifixes?
Nice. Well played. I saw Phantasm when I was 7 years old on Halloween night on HBO on home box office as it was coming at the time. And
That was the hour that Rambo wasn't playing.
This was in the 70s.
Man, I'll tell you my two favorite contemporary horror films. Mm-hmm. That I enjoy.
Oh, wait. What's the other option? Ancient horror films?
Yes. Yes.
This pictogram depicts a horrifying Egyptian situation.
No, I'm saying
don't walk by
years.
That cave. It's got a really scary wall.
Look at the bison in there.
They're having fun with me.
No, they're
anyway,
not having fun with you.
Okay,
they're
no more
fun
at
you.
At the back of my head.
At your expense.
What
did you
are your two contemporary horror films?
The Orphanage.
That's one.
Spanish film. It was incredible.
Loved it.
Mm-mm. Fuck you.
All right.
And then the next one is, did you see The Descent?
Yeah.
That one fucked me up like pretty bad.
I thought that movie was decent.
It was decent.
It was pretty decent.
It was pretty decent.
I saw this. I did see a horror movie that I really love called Made in Manhattan.
Yep.
Anybody want to explain the face to the podcast?
Did you see the sequel?
What was it called?
Made in Manhattan, Full Blown Maids.
Now that movie was scary.
Now that one.
Oh shit.
Oh brother.
How long have you had that one in the holster?
Couple seconds.
He's good. Nick can AIDSify anything.
Oh my god, like I was sitting trying to, you know, pick out the best parts of what we did last night for the TV show and I think all four of us say AIDS at some point. It's really an AIDS-a-thon. Finally, people are going to look into the problem. Yeah, exactly.
I'm fairly certain I did not reference AIDS in the show.
No, but pretty much every other horrifying thing.
Every time you say it on television. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you didn't have to pay AIDS when Michael Jackson died.
Oh.
I don't think that was a non sequitur more than a. I wasn't trying to say he had AIDS or. I don't know what I was trying to say.
I don't know. I've been making a lot of Michael Jackson jokes lately, and people are sensitive to them, and I don't understand why.
Well, I used to vote at the school near my house was the Michael Jackson Auditorium, and then when the last round of allegations came out, they put these wood blocks over Michael and Jackson, so it just said Auritorium.
Really?
Yeah.
They didn't change it to like the Tito Jackson one.
But then he died,
and they brought it back
up. Well, first Captain EO came back to Disneyland.
Yes.
And then they restored.
Is in.
Then they restored Michael Jackson Auditorium.
It's so weird.
So when I vote next Tuesday, I'm going to be voting in the Michael Jackson Auditorium.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah. When you're done, after you select your thing, and they give you your I voted sticker, they say, "Beat it."
Have you?
How does that?
That killed two of us.
How does that joke work on the 68-year-old retiree who gives you that sticker?
I can't wait to find out. That's the only reason I'm going to vote. I'm just going to stand in the booth for a second, vote yes on weed, and then leave. I'm not even going to vote for anything else.
You knock over one of the voting booths and go, "Excuse me, this voting booth is off the wall. Thank you.
Don't even leave time for booze or applause. Go right into the thank you.
Thank you.
Same joke.
I'm just hoping the old lady that checks people in is named Diana.
The possibility.
You just like sweet. Cover her in mud. So she's dirty.
Dirty Diana. Dirty Diana.
Yeah.
That would be taking it to the next level, to be sure.
But those were two good horror movies that you mentioned, Nick. Nice job.
Thank you.
Chris Hardwick, what's your favorite?
Horror movie?
Contemporary.
I really...
That's a real word.
I actually enjoyed the original version of Let the Right One In. I thought it was really awesome.
Did you see the remake?
I did not see the remake.
I hear the remake's really good.
So faithful that it's good if you haven't seen the other one, but it's not so great if you've seen it, because it's just like, it's almost like that... shot-by-shot remake of Psycho that was so terrible.
Right, right. That was pretty good. And there's
Excuse me?
Oh. Hey, come on, guys. We're all friends.
No, I don't want to.
Gus is a close friend.
Is that who directed
it? I'm going to do a shot-for-shot remake of Elephant. but instead of a high school, old age home.
Love it.
Oh.
I'd watch that.
Good spin. I also saw there's a Spanish movie called Crono Crimines, which means time crimes, and it's a super mind-bendy, like, time travel movie.
Was it scary?
What does it have to do with horror?
Oh, I take it back. someone just posted on my... One of my bloggers just wrote that there is a movie called something like Let No Children Die, or No Children Should Die, or something like that. Some... another Spanish horror movie.
Oh, based on the George Bush speech.
Yep, that's right.
No Child Left Behind. That will be a great horror movie.
No, I thought George Bush said No Child Should Die or whatever.
Like he was making a good point. No yeah. Child should
let's,
die.
Let's live in a country where we don't let children die.
No children will ever die. A society of zombie children forever. I'm trying to find the name of this movie on my...
Oh, that's a good idea. Nick, what do you think? Besides Made in Manhattan, give me a real one.
Horror movie?
Who can kill a child?
Around.
Who can kill a child?
It's I have.
Oh, I thought you were looking for volunteers.
Oh, Doc Brown may have...
Who can kill a child?
Who can kill a child?
I very rarely watch horror movies. I don't like them. But I was just talking about that movie Altered States recently,
awesome.
Which is sort of a horror movie. No?
No, I'm shaking my head because that movie freaks me the shit out.
Yeah, that movie freaked me out. It's a movie, William Hurt, early 70s. He's like a part of this like intellectual academics crew, but they're also drug users. He's like smoking a ton of weed, and he goes in this deprivation tank, this like what is it,
you just lay in salt water in the dark,
and it's like the womb. It's supposed to get you totally body temperature, and you're supposed to, like, it's like being back in the womb. And so he sort of trips out in there, and then he goes down to Mexico where he tries this drug that's like peyote. And he wakes up after his trip.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but are you going to describe the whole movie?
Yeah, so now people have to see it now. Anyway.
This isn't the Doug Benson movie description?
On one of his trips, he sees like a fucking ram that has eight eyes or seven eyes or something. And that,
that bugged you out.
That one is, that's a thing I wish I could unsee.
Really?
Yeah. I think it sounds fucking horny.
Get it? Thank you. I'll say it for you. Thank you.
Thank you. Early 70s?
Yeah.
Fuck.
William Hurt. It's crazy town.
I want to see that.
But I don't like scary movies. Won't see him.
All right. Well, I hope that's not going to be a category in the Leonard Maltin game. Because it's time
Leonard
to play.
Maltin scary game.
Look at that name tag. There's a professional one over there. So, Chris Hardwick, who would you like to play for in the audience? Pick. There's three name tags to choose from that I can see. Oh, there's a couple back there.
Well, I know, but I have to go with the... you know what? You did use your finger to write that, but I got to go with Sean over here because he has a Hello, My Name Is app, clearly, on his iPhone, and that is... I respect that.
That's awesome. Okay, so Chris is going to play for Sean. Nick, who would you like to play for? Swartzen?
I'm going
to
play for the Philadelphia Flyers right there.
All right. He doesn't have a name tag.
Yeah, he does on the back.
Oh,
shotgun go booyah.
Holy shit.
Shotgun go booyah.
What does it say again? Giriachilo? Garcillo.
You're drinking that incredibly awful Bud Light and Clamato mix. I see those billboards in Sun Valley in Espanol sometime. What is it? What's the name?
What is it? Oh, wait, it's beer and tomato juice.
Chelada, yes, chelada.
Chelada. Abierto, chelada.
Which I assume is like great if you're like an upscale Mexican restaurant.
Yep.
But bad in a tin can fucking tall boy.
Do a quick commercial for that yeah. product.
Quieres? Would you like to drink a clamato and beer? Have you lost a bet?
I'll play for the girl who complimented me outside and stroked my ego. Sorry, fella. Yeah.
What's her name? What does that say?
Erica Curry.
Erica Curry? Well, no last names, please. Erica. Okay, so we got Erica, we got Giancarlo.
It could be Tim Curry, by the way, just so you're aware.
Okay. And Sean. Okay, so remember who you're playing for, you guys, because I forgot already. And
Sean.
Chris, of course, has been he's been part of the Tournament of Championships.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, he's a strong player, you guys.
Ah, oh, fuck.
Swartzen, though, first time he played, he came out strong. Did a good job. That's right.
I don't know how I just did that.
Nick Kroll hasn't made an impression one way or the other.
I won last time.
Oh, okay. Good for you.
Totally by default of bad playing on someone else's part.
Yeah, it's the strategy game as much as a knowledge game.
Who was it? Who played badly?
Tom Selleck.
He didn't bring it?
No. Did not bring it.
Magnum PU?
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
I just saw Three Men and a Baby the other day. It was on TV.
Hold up.
And I watched it. And
did you see the ghost?
It held up. Did not see the ghost. But my favorite part about what I realized, like movies in the 80s, is that it's like the most broad family comedy. But yet there's a huge cocaine subplot. Which I just love that cocaine was so everywhere in the 80s that it was just in a family comedy. It just was like a part of people's lives. Yeah. It's like a fucking huge thing about like Ted Danson getting coke and shit. It was fucking awesome. He does it off the baby. It was crazy. You forget all those little things.
Do you know what's ironic is if you watch the movie Ghost, you can see Three Men and a Little Lady in the background. Thank you.
All right. Nick is getting cheating with face laughs.
Gotta get some.
You know, right. We should do a movie called Coaxed, and it's Ghost, but it's fucking coke. And then there's just a scene of you and me on the pottery wheel, and we're just building fucking coke. I don't know.
All right. Huge line. Sorry. To blow.
I don't know. Just say, all right. Sorry, talking.
And Whoopi Goldberg's in the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's on fucking coke.
The crazy thing is, you could actually get that made, Nick Swords, and you could actually get that movie
made. I
can
see what I am. I'll see what I can fucking do.
All right, good.
I'll chip away at the system.
It's funny that Chris Hardwick has a... I don't know if it's going to make it into the final cut, but Chris Hardwick has a reference to Ghost in the set that he did last night.
Is that true?
And yeah. And
I did.
And,
yeah.
And it specifically involved the pottery wheel, so...
Really?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. When people see him on TV, they're going to be like, oh, you just got that idea when listening to those guys talk about it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, fuck.
You fucking thief.
Future thief.
I'm a future thief. Yes.
Nice. You should just...
Yes.
Chrono crimen. Yes. I go into the future to steal comedy jokes.
We already previewed your song, so you might as well preview that joke. How'd that joke go?
The joke was, do you think Patrick Swayze now goes up behind people in pottery classes and hugs them just to crack up other ghosts? The Swayze guy is hilarious.
So that, hopefully that'll get in the show. That'll be funny.
That was my...
That was like your... No, that's not your closer, but I think we're going to go to commercial on that.
Okay. And then we come back and do tweets.
Yeah, that's right.
Is your show an hour or a half hour?
It's a half hour.
So, are you serious?
So that...
We all did 25 minutes.
We taped like 90 minutes with these guys last night.
Oh, my
night,
God.
And we have to narrow it down to...
You're going
to
cut that
down? We have to narrow it down to 22 minutes.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah. Thank God the theme song's only 17 seconds.
That's right.
Gives us a little breathing room.
You're going to have to cut some more other theme song down. Sorry, Chris.
We'll cut the clapping.
We literally each did like 40 minutes of the taping. They're going to cut it down to like
four.
Cut
the clapping. Well, there'll be like, you know, if there's a DVD or something.
Can I tell you, though, it was a tremendous amount of fun. Like, you were fantastic, and the audience there was great, and
yeah,
the set's super awesome.
You looked great.
It's a really good show. You looked fantastic.
Thanks, guys. You're the best three possible first show people I could have had.
Huzzah! Excelsior!
We gotta play the game. We gotta get out of here. These people have been here for seven hours.
It's not about them.
It's true. I mean, I like to put on a good show for the live crowd, but it is for the listeners out
right?
there.
So it's F for, all of you.
It's for those. It's for those sad, sad young men that don't have friends.
Oh,
that just listen I'm to the sorry. Podcast and it's their friend.
Oh, well, that's wonderful that the podcast has them.
And vice versa. Would you like, we'll start with you, Nick Kroll. Would you like a motion picture that takes place in or around an airplane? That was submitted by someone on Twitter called @theawfulpeople. Would you like, it's Bob Hoskins' birthday yesterday, because now it's after midnight, but yesterday. It's Bob Hoskins' birthday, so would you like Bob Hoskins movies? Mm-hmm. Or would you like the aforementioned and category you probably want to stay away from, horror films?
The first one was what again?
Plane movies, which are also horror films generally. Bob Hoskins movies are also generally horror films, so you're really
I'll go in plane, a corner. Plane movies.
Okay. Would you like a plane movie from 1997, 2005, or 2006?
2005.
All right. Hold your guesses, audience. I hear murmuring already. Some nerd knows it already. 2 stars from Leonard Maltin.
Okay.
Can't say that I disagree. As I said, it was from 2005, and I'll give you a couple little snippets from the review without giving away what the movie is. One character wakes up from a nap. And
got it.
I already know it.
Do you really?
I think I do.
Okay, and then
Nappy Gilmore.
Yep, Nappy Gilmore.
Done. Told you.
Oh, and Leonard also says this contemporary thriller.
See, I told you it's a fucking real word.
I believe that it was a word.
I don't think you did.
He says it becomes remote and uninvolving. All right, and there are 10 names. How many names do you think you can get in?
10.
Nick Kroll says 10. We come over here to Chris Hardwick. Thinks he knows it already. So it might be an interesting
bit. You know what? I think there were a couple, just the way that they cluster like types of movies out. I think there were a couple there. But I think maybe I could do it in 5 names.
It says 5, Nick Swartzen.
I can't do it in 40. So what do I do? I can't do it.
You
in
could
five.
Say so you gotta say fucking, Chris, name that movie.
Name the movie, Chris.
Alright, so you get 5 names.
Okay.
Would you like the clues again?
It was a napping thing, right?
Yeah.
And that it was
someone
it was
wakes up from a nap
involving.
And it's a contemporary thriller.
Okay.
And then yeah, it's uninvolving.
Uninvolving.
Stephanie Farrisee.
Oh.
Michael Irby. Judith Scott, Greta Scacchi, some might say.
Yeah, Stachy.
Stachy.
I think I know what it is.
And Michael Lawston, that doesn't help, so what is it?
I think it might be Flight Plan.
That's correct!
Yeah!
Flight Plan.
Do you even know?
Jodie Foster.
My review of that movie was...
Bob Hoskins was in Flight Plan?
Yep.
No, that's
we
the category.
We gotta find
his
plane.
Oh. Wait, what was the category?
Plane movies in a plane.
Oh, shit.
Movies yeah. that take place inside Bob Hoskins. Okay, it's okay. I'm sorry. It's okay. I take it back.
I thought it was Bob Hoskins.
My review of Flight Plan was they should have called it Panic Plane and then not made it.
I liked Flight Plan.
You did?
Yep, I did.
All right.
It was kind of an odd plot that didn't really... They're like,
is that the one with the Irish guy in it?
Yes.
Okay.
What? You remember Flight Plan?
I remember the
Jodie Foster wakes up from a nap like, and her daughter's missing on a
she
plane.
She on the
like,
window.
Where could she be but on the plane? Turns out Jodie Foster knows a lot about the plane because she's like built planes for a living. So she's really got a lot at stake. She's got to find her daughter on the plane somewhere.
She breathes on the thing.
That's what she does. Her reputation and her
there's
child
a fucking
are at
heart
stake.
In the window when she breathes.
Oh, okay. I got it now.
All right, so Chris Hardwick got that point, and Nick Kroll was not involved in that skirmish, so he'll start the next round.
Happily.
Would you like to do a movie featuring an actor from Back to the Future, because it's the 25th anniversary, as we were talking about earlier? Would you like an actor from Glengarry Glen Ross, for no reason other than that movie's awesome?
Mm-hmm.
And that Nick and I think there should be a Glengarry Glen married or whatever, unmarried.
Glengarry unmarried.
Glengarry unmarried.
That's all right. Whatever.
Or in theaters now. That's motion pictures that are in theaters now.
I would like let's do Glengarry Glen Ross.
Okay. You get an actor from Glengarry Glen Ross is in this these other movies from 2001, 2003 or 2006.
2006.
Okay. Leonard gives us 3.5 stars. I'd maybe go the same, maybe a little less. He calls it potent. And he says,
so we could get a bitch pregnant? I'm sorry, I didn't want to say that. I take it back. I apologize.
You're getting ready for your comic view,
sir. Angry at myself.
And he said it was inspired by a 2002 movie.
Oh, balls.
Yeah.
What year was it, 2006?
2006, inspired by a movie in 2002, 3.5 stars, potent, and there are 13 names.
Inspired by...
The clues make it harder, by the way.
Yeah.
Try not to dwell on the clues.
I'll say 10.
And it's also one of the 7 or 8 actors that were in Glengarry and Ross is in this, so it doesn't narrow things down much. 10 names, you say?
Yeah.
All right, Chris Hardwick.
Oh, geez. I don't know. I haven't seen Glengarry Glen Ross, I think, since I saw it in the theater. So I have a basic understanding of that.
I know a bunch. I mean,
you know what? What?
What?
Right. You were like, you know what? Like, you're going to announce something.
I was going to announce that I wanted to.
You're going to make him name it?
But that's 10 out of 13. Shit. No, because you know what's going to happen?
If he can't do it with 10 out of 13, I will murder him on the spot.
I know, but what's going to...
Make for great podcasting.
I will tell you exactly...
I'll describe the murder just so
people
know
I will tell
on.
You exactly what's going to happen. I'm going to... Just because I don't want him to have to do it, I'll go, well, I'll do it 9, and then Nick Swanson will go, fucking do it! And then I'll have to do it, and then I'm not going to get it, and then
but
Sean's
But Nick can get 8 names. That's still pretty doable.
How many should I go for, 13? Sean? You have a stake in this. I think you can get it. In how many?
Chris is consulting with a stranger who knows how to find an app on iPhone. Clearly an expert.
He's convinced that I can
get
him
5.
I don't think so.
If you go down to 5, then Nick's definitely going to say.
Okay. I will say 8 names.
There you go.
All right.
Do you think I can get it in 7?
No. He's looking to Clamato, by the way, everybody.
Gazpacho doesn't think he can do it.
All right.
Because that's what it becomes when it gets cold. Mm-hmm. It just turns into gazpacho in a can.
How's your big at right, the war?
You know what? I'm gonna say I can do it in 7.
All right.
Sorry.
All right, so now it's back to Nick Kroll.
Purely to be the center of attention, I'll say that I can do it in 6.
Nick Kroll, name that movie.
Here we go. All right. Oh, exciting.
Name that movie.
Yeah, name that movie.
All right, name that movie.
Okay, potent, 3.5 stars, based on inspired by a 2002 movie.
What does that mean? They're like, that's a good idea. We should do that too.
I don't understand what that means.
You'll get it later, maybe. Once you find out what it is.
How many names?
6.
6.
Dorothy Lyman. Kevin Corrigan. Mark Rolston. David Patrick O'Hara. James Badge Dale. And the 6th name is the actor that was in Glengarry Glen Ross, Alec Baldwin.
Oh. Uh, 2006, and this got 3.5 stars out of how many?
2005, isn't it?
Out of 4, and it's 2006.
Oh,
what kind of game are you running?
This is pre-30 Rock. So he was swimming at the bottom of the barrel.
Leonard gave it 3.5 stars.
That's a good. That's
no bottom of the barrel shit.
No, I know. That's some real deal stuff.
Oh, wait,
is this still plane related? No.
No.
Um,
we're going to have to ask you to guess.
Okay. I'm going to say the correct answer is married to the mob.
That was a little bit older, I think. Chris, you want to just say it just for fun?
I think
I can't remember the name of it. Is it the one with Anthony Hopkins?
No. Nick? What do you think it is?
Is it the Departed?
Yeah!
Oh my God!
Shit. Oh, well, that was 2006?
Yeah, and it was inspired by the Hong Kong police movie Infernal Affairs.
Yes.
From 2002.
Oh my God, I can't believe that movie's already 4 years old. Oh.
I can't believe you think 4 years is so long ago.
Wait, no, so, I think it was not long ago.
I'm remembering that rat walking across the thing at the end like it was yesterday.
Wait,
and that wasn't a good day.
So
you almost got the part of the rat in that one. You came, it was down to you and an actual
rat. It was between you and Patton Oswalt, wasn't it?
Oh my God, can I tell
quickly,
we were at Comic-Con and I did a show with Patton and Posehn, and Patton had a glass of scotch and the guy couldn't remember what kind of scotch it was, and Posehn goes, hey, why don't you use that rat nosier there, whatever his name was, Remy or
Ratatouille.
Remy Ratatouille, that's what he said, why don't you use that rat nosier to figure it out, Ratatouille. God,
who was that an impression of?
That was an impression of Posehn. Oh, okay, sorry.
Why don't you use that rat nose of yours, Ratatouille?
Is that better?
Wait, Chunk from Goonies was there?
Yep. I don't know why, he was just doing a set.
So if you're just curious, listeners, the 2001 Glengarry Glen Ross movie was Royal Tenenbaums with the Alec Baldwin did the narration, and 2003 was Cat in the Hat that also had Alec Baldwin doing God knows what, because I never saw Cat in the Hat. All right, so let's
do. I get a point.
That's the end of that category. Goodbye, Glengarry Glen married.
Do I get a fucking point or what?
No, you get season two.
He did get a point.
You get season two.
Of what?
Pickup.
Oh.
That's what it's based on. How are you going to mix theme for the next season of Pretend to...
So,
that makes sense.
Let's play the game. That might be more fun. Than whatever was just happening.
But when nobody laughed at that last joke, it seemed like it was going so well.
Tough but fair.
Do I get a point for the Departed?
You got a point for... Because you told him to name it, right?
No.
Chris told him to name it.
But I fucking named that shit, man.
So now Chris has a point, and Nick still had a point, right?
Yeah, I have a point.
Which Nick?
Chris has two.
Chris has two?
Yeah. But he didn't get the Departed,
though. Oh, yeah, because I told him the name, and he didn't get it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so Sean, who I'm playing for off the side, is like, he's got 2 points. Like, he's really invested.
But I don't get a half point?
But
like a bonus?
Do you really have 2 points, Chris?
Oh, no, wait, because you told him to... Nick Swanson has a point, because he's the one
that told him. That's
what I
said. Yeah.
Yeah.
I told him.
So everybody has a point except
for... Shut the fuck up, Sean. You totally threw
it. It's not possible. I told him the last one.
No, Hardwick told him to name it.
Bid a dollar!
So Chris has 2 points? Is that what everybody thinks it is?
But
no,
does,
Chris
does,
won.
No. Do
no,
I have a
doesn't.
Point?
Then Chris won.
Yes.
So it's two... I get one for just saying the Departed.
Flight plan. Who's supposed to guess flight plan?
I like the scenario where Chris wins and then everyone goes home.
Yeah, that's what I'm excited about. You've had a great show when the audience is excited about going home.
They've been here a while, but usually you've done
movies before. I feel
it was a long night, and I should say, Death Ray, if they do it again next Halloween, people fight to get tickets, because these guys were smart and they got their tickets, because the whole entrance and then throughout the theater, they turn it into a haunted house.
Right.
And so it's one of those typical where you're walking around in the dark and people jump out of you and it's fucking scary as fuck. And then they all sit down for a really fun show. And it's great. The cobwebs that are normally here are a nice touch. Just fucking leave them up.
Those were live people at the beginning of the night.
Yeah. All right, so Chris won our game. Congratulations,
hey,
Chris.
Hey, I feel good about stuff.
That was great. Got an amazing prize package for the winner. Who'd you win for, Sean?
Sean, he's right back there.
He's right there, Sean. You get, you're going to tear into these right away. Chris was nice enough to bring Vampire Uprising.
Yep, sent to me
which
in G4,
looks like
Vampire Uprising.
It looks like a kind of a romantic novel with vampires.
And this one I can't figure out that they sent to me. I don't know why.
Crown of the Crystal Flame.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very manly, but... But he has some sort of cat animal. It was a pet. So here's another thing for you to read is I brought a copy of Leonard Maltin's 151 Best Movies You've Never Seen. And I also have a Benson Interruption T-shirt and a Doug Benson Professional Humor Eating CD.
Oh, my God.
And this shirt says what on it?
It says Nerdist. Yay. Yeah.
It's a shirt that someone made for Chris's Nerdist podcast. In honor of it or whatever, right?
And it was too big for me.
It was
because
too big
I'm a
for
wee individual. So.
Yeah, so this is too big for him. So Sean, you lucked out.
You can put it on over your Flight of the Conchords.
It's
t-shirt,
a one of a kind shirt. And then okay, that's it. But also, this is fantastic. There was a TV show on FX, like it must have been like a decade ago or something, hosted by Jillian Barbary, and it was called The Test.
Oh my God! I did that show.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was a guest on it one time, and they gave me this weird man purse, and so I'm finally
what was the show?
I'm finally regifting it.
It was like
it's called The Test.
It was in like that era of like all these fucking dumb panel shows. There was just hundreds
of
them.
You sat around, they're just like, if you could have AIDS or a European vacation, which would you pick? And then you all sit, the panel sits and argues about which would be the better choice.
Is she the one who was dating OJ when he killed...
No.
Allegedly?
No.
I don't think so. She's been a
OJ.
Weather girl with big fake boobs in Los Angeles for a long time.
Okay, she's the one on like Good Morning LA.
She's married to like some sports guy and then they got divorced and now she's married to some other dude and I know too much about her.
Why don't you just download Jillian Cast already? Doug?
I met her at a party once. I don't remember if we smoked pot or not, but we probably did. Let's just say we did just because, you know. Who's going to complain? It's a podcast.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything you want to plug before we go? I got to find out who they want to call shitheads. Where are the losers? Not losers isn't the right word for
the what?
It.
When does this air?
The people who are represented by losers.
When is it coming out, Doug? Don't losers call the guy drinking chelada a loser. That would be...
I have a gift for my
this will plop in a few days. What do you have?
I forgot to bring something, but I made these t-shirts, so I was going to give them my t-shirt.
You're going to go home without a shirt? Oh, perfect. So you get this shirt. What does the shirt say? Yeah, sexy.
It says legalized crystal meth.
That's awesome.
I went in on that shirt with Nick.
This is my booze body.
What else do you guys want to plug? Anything? The League is still every Tuesday on FX?
Yeah, it's every Thursday.
That's what I meant, every Tuesday.
Every Thursday, 10:30. And I'll be at the Helium in Portland this weekend and the Helium in Philadelphia next weekend.
Nice.
How many clubs?
Come on.
All right, I'm going to be at... Well, that was a shorter version. I'm going to be at the St. Louis Funny Bone November 8th and 9th, Louisville Improv November 18th to 20th, and the Pot the Vote Tour concludes this weekend, so if you hear the podcast right away, you can still make it. San Francisco on Saturday, Sacramento on Sunday, both Punchline Comedy Clubs at 4:20.
I'll be performing at Fun 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 Fest in Austin, Texas. With
why don't you make up some more credits?
That's a real thing.
No, I've heard of it. It's supposed to be fun.
It is fun.
But not very fest. It's just fun.
Fun fest.
It's not fest.
Weird Alfred Yankovic will also be there.
Yay! What's the date of the thing?
That's November 5th. And then I think I'll be in Atlanta at the Laughing Skull. And then after that, I think I'll be at the Addison Improv in Addison, Texas.
Don't be ashamed of plugging the things that you're doing.
It just makes me feel empty inside, Nick, when I talk about my...
Okay. What?
I wrote and directed Tron. That's coming up.
Really? You did? Wait, the original?
Yay, Nick Kroll! Chris Hardwick and the director of the new Tron.
Nick Swartzen.
Nick Swartzen, everybody.
Co-rap. Thank you for hanging in there.
Wait, I gotta get a picture of you guys after I do this.
No.
As always, Matt Morgan is a shithead, and Chelada is a shithead.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of both his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in